We are going to talk about Barbie's World this hour. We're going to talk about Barbie's new diversity makeover. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Barbie is now available in three new body types in a variety of skin tones, eye colors, and hairstyles. We will talk with a guest professor who says this is good on a number of levels, but Barbie still has a lot of work to do. And we will welcome your thoughts and your questions. Did you grow up playing with Barbie? How did Barbie affect you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Christine Whelan, a speaker, author, associate professor in the School of Human Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She specializes in consumer science, self-improvement, and the quest for self-control and behavior change. That's an interesting specialty. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
So you have in front of us, I'm looking at her right now, Curvy Barbie. This is a new Barbie doll from Mattel.
Right. So Mattel has released a curvy, a tall, and a petite Barbie. But everybody is focusing mostly on Curvy Barbie. So I tried to buy Curvy Barbie. So the first thing I did was try to go to Toys R Us last week and buy Curvy Barbie here. And she is not available in stores yet. You can't buy her on Amazon. The only way that you can get Curvy Barbie is through Mattel right now. And the reason is because Mattel has some very important thing to work out, which is Curvy Barbie's clothes. Curvy Barbie is bigger.
And so they don't have clothes that fit her.
Exactly. And so if Mattel doesn't merchandise and release the clothes properly, then you're going to have this problem where little girls everywhere are going to be saying, well, Mommy, you got me this curvy Barbie doll, but why can't she wear the cute clothes that original Barbie can?
Oh, my goodness. So I am looking at Curvy Barbie, and I'm so glad you brought her in, because I when I was looking at a photo online, I thought, that doesn't look that curvy to me. She doesn't look, I mean, she looks maybe slightly larger than what I remember the traditional Barbie to look like. But boy, she's certainly not overweight.
So she is not. So when I received her 2 nights ago, and the first thing I did was start taking her measurements. So I got out a measuring tape, and she's 11 inches tall, and her at her widest point around her hips and her rear end, it's 6 inches around. So if you multiply that out by six to get to a 5'6" woman, that's a 36-inch hips and rear end. And Google tells me that an average size 8 woman is a 37.5. So I'm thinking that this curvy Barbie is a small size 8 at best. I would assume that the women of the world are rather outraged by the idea that a size 6 to 8 is considered curvy.
Oh, my goodness, because isn't the average size at least a 12?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at this Barbie doll, and I wish everybody could see her as I see her, but she is a... I mean, maybe she's a 10, maybe she's a 12. There's just no way that she is plus-sized by any stretch. Also, interesting to note about this new Barbie, her arms are just as skinny, and her neck and her upper body proportions are just as petite as original Barbie, it seems. One other very different thing is that her feet are not as sort of attenuated. They're not as pointy as original Barbie's feet. So
they're not the high-heeled shaped foot.
Exactly. So but they're not totally flat either. Mm-hmm. They're a more normal human foot, I guess. But that means that this curvy Barbie also needs different shoes. So this could be a stroke of genius on Mattel's part, because it gets a lot of families to buy a whole different wardrobe for new dolls, or it could backfire as girls try to play Barbie and their clothes and shoes are not interchangeable.
Well, we did post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page some of the new Barbies, and I just saw my producer, Nyasia Ellison, taking a photo. I'm hoping that she will put that photo up on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, so might be people can get an idea of what the new Barbies are looking like. But just talk some about what your reaction to... Mattel at least trying.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, the idea of releasing a variety of skin tones and hair textures for Barbie, that's fantastic. That's absolutely a step in the right direction. And the dark-haired Barbie with the blue streaks in her hair that's curvy, she's already sold out on Mattel.com. I don't know whether they made fewer of her or whether that is suggesting
we really like blue hair.
That we like blue hair, but that was the one I wanted to buy, but that one is sold out. So that's a really good thing. At core, we're still talking about Barbie, and we're still talking about her body image. All these years later, we're still talking about the female body shape and what we're looking at with these dolls. So as a step in the right direction for women's empowerment, sure, maybe. But as my friends and I were joking, when Mattel releases a Ken doll pushing a vacuum cleaner, then we can start talking about gender equality.
But, you know, and it's been a while. Besides the makeover, the physical appearance of Barbie, does Mattel at least try to say this is, Barbie the businesswoman? Or, you know, the careers and or, you know, professions?
Certainly there are more professional dress-up outfits for Barbie. Does that move the dial? Not really sure. Again, we're still talking about, yeah, you know, the Barbie and the body image. With this new release of the Barbies, it's the Barbie Fashionista line. So it is not a career-based or an accomplishment-based Barbie line. We're not talking about her intelligence. We're not talking about anything. But she's a doll, so we don't want to read too much into it. One of the main reasons why girls love to play with Barbie dolls is to dress them up in all the different clothes, which is why this clothing issue is important, because if Mattel doesn't get it right, what it's telling larger girls turning to larger women is that they don't get the cute clothes that the skinny girls will get. So it could backfire in terms of actually doing a positive thing for girls' body image if the clothes aren't handled properly.
Isn't that the way it is in real life, though?
It is. And you know what? I said that and my sister-in-law laughed and said, well, Christine, you know, they've got to learn this young, don't they? If we are trying to overcome this this sort of stigma against a larger body size, then it's got to be merchandised carefully. If we're not trying to do that, then I don't even know what the part of curvy Barbie is to begin with.
Well, but how might new Barbie, the curvy Barbie, affect the way children view body image?
It's a big debate about whether original Barbie in her skinny form really even impacted girls' body image to begin with. There are so many media inputs. There are so many all other visual inputs that tell us that skinny is the only way to be beautiful. By the way, that is a new trend, and it's something that I always tell my students. Skinny wasn't always beautiful. In the 1890s, I have a poster up in my office from the 1890s for Fatten You Up tablets. And it shows a woman happily sitting there, fat, thrilled about it, because she has finally taken these Corpula tablets. In the 1890s, being pale and fat meant that you were a woman of affluence and a woman of leisure, so you didn't have to work out in the fields at being affected by the sun, and that you had enough money to buy enough food. So at that point, this curvy Barbie would have been considered not attractive and not affluent enough.
Because she's not chubby enough.
So our ideas of body image certainly are socialized. And in that sense, perhaps having more realistic or larger bodied dolls may begin to move the socialization for future generations away from the idea that you have to be Twiggy to be beautiful.
Well, when you brought up Twiggy, that just reminded me. That seems like that's my generation. When I was going to school in Barbie doll playing age, Twiggy was out there, and I did feel it, from her, that I was way too fat. I mean, so it wasn't just Barbie. It was all sorts of other things in our popular culture.
Yeah, Barbie has been a lightning rod for all of this gender and size controversy, and it's somewhat unfair because there are many other visual images. Twiggy, just think of all of the models, like Kate Moss from the from the 1990s, that make that sort of anorexia chic look. So it's not all Barbie, But Barbie is certainly one of the early influences that that our daughters play with. And I am a mom of a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 5-month-old son. But with the two older girls, this Barbie arrived, and I don't really want them to play with it.
Why not?
The idea of playing with a Barbie doll as opposed to a more generic baby doll just seems like it's focusing on the wrong things, that it's focusing on the fashion rather than on the nurturing, that it's focusing on being more of an adult rather than being more of a kid. And so it's actually less about the body image and more about all the other social connotations that Barbie has. I asked some of my mom friends on Facebook, and they felt the same way. They weren't rushing out to buy Barbies for their daughters. This, of course, is a problem for Mattel, and perhaps why Mattel's sales between about 2012, 2014-15 really showed a big slump. Their release of Curvy Barbie is a real calculated business move, because they're trying to increase sales.
Sure. That's interesting that you wouldn't want your daughters playing with even Curvy Barbie. And I understand what you're saying. Did you have a Barbie? Or did you want a Barbie?
I think I may. I know I had a Barbie. Mm-hmm. It was not a central part of my play in my childhood. I was talking to someone earlier this morning who said that having a Barbie doll was sort of an entree into play dates. And that, you know, you would go play Barbies with your friends, and whether or not you had to have one just to be sort of part of the crowd. That is not true anymore. And that's what Mattel is seeing, the change in sales with the change in attitudes.
It's funny because I mentioned to my producers when we talked about doing this show is that I did not have a Barbie either growing up. Mm-hmm. I wanted one because it seemed almost everybody had one. Mm-hmm. But then my parents got me, I think her name was Midge, Barbie's cousin.
Yes.
And she was not as glamorous as Barbie. And I'm not sure if that it was a, you know, do you remember Midge?
Yes, I do. And there was another one. I can't remember the name of it. There was another spinoff series that had a man and a woman, not Barbie and Ken.
Okay, yeah. So they attempted back then to also, I guess, give a little bit different types of Barbies,
exactly,
too. We are talking about Barbie, and we're talking about the new Barbie makeover. Mattel has added 3 new body types, a tall Barbie, a petite Barbie, and a curvy Barbie, a variety of skin tones and eye colors and hairstyles as well. And we are talking about how significant this is and why Mattel did this and what this might mean for body image and our perception of beauty. What do you think of Barbie's new looks? Do you think that this is important? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about Barbie's makeover this hour and what it all means with Christine Whelan, who is a speaker, author, and associate professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. 1-800-642-1234 is our number if you'd like to join in with a question or a reaction. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And if you don't know what new Barbies are looking like, curvy Barbie and tall Barbie and petite Barbie, you can look on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Jill in Rhinelander is with us. Hi, Jill.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. They had a thing on TV about the new Barbie, and they had a bunch of little girls with these new dolls. And they said as soon as the adults left the room, the girls took the clothes off the curvy Barbie and started poking fun at her and saying she was fat.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
So, well, what do you make of that, Christine?
So there these tests, and I've seen some of the same videos that you have, that the girls were laughing at the curvy Barbie. And while some of them would outright call her fat, others of them would be even too uncomfortable to say that word, so they would just sort of spell it out. She's F-A-T. And gosh, the idea that little girls are using that language and that construction and have that image about a Barbie that I am looking at who is far from even large by any stretch, shows how powerful our socialization messages from a young age about what beauty is, and that only thin is beautiful, and so that really should give us pause, and should make us say, well, perhaps these curvy Barbies should be the only Barbies out there. Now, it would have been a very interesting move if Mattel had replaced Barbie and sort of taken the original Barbie off the market and replaced her with a curvy Barbie. One of my other colleagues suggested that the other thing Mattel could have done is create custom-made Barbies using 3D printing. That technology is available, so little girls could have sent in pictures of themselves and their dimensions and printed, for pennies on the dollar apparently, printed out, had 3D Barbies sent to them that would actually more likely represent what they looked like. Would be very interesting to see whether it's like what we see in the avatar world when people create an avatar of themselves, that they actually make themselves very skinny and different than they are in real life, or whether people would create dolls that really accurately looked like them.
Yeah, what a good idea. I'm trying to think of these little girls, you know, laughing and, you know, oh, fat, she's fat, or F-A-T, and to really to look at that and say that's fat. Where did that come from? Why do those little girls think that a size 8 doll is fat?
Well, think about the media that little girls are, little girls and boys are watching. So even in the cartoons, you see cartoons with very big heads and very skinny bodies. In all TV stars that you see are size 0 or size 2. I mean, very, very skinny. Everybody you see in the media on billboards are not a sort of average woman's size. However, that also must mean that they think that their parents and all their parents' friends and everybody around them in real life is also fat, right? Because because this is the size of a normal human female. I mean, if this curvy Barbie, this so-called fat Barbie, is a size 8, then that is smaller than the normal average woman. By the way, it's not only the little girls who are saying this. When I went to Toys R Us and I was asking the customer service woman about the new Barbie, she said, "Oh, that's why everybody's been joking about Krispy Kreme Barbie."
Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tony in Algoma has a related point. Hi, Tony.
Good morning. Yeah, I have a question for your guest speaker regarding, is it possible that we're doing damage by going the other direction with the obesity problem and the poor eating habits with the general population? If we accept the fact that we're getting overweight, but we're happy with our bodies, using Barbie for a reference...
Mm-hmm.
Can we be doing more damage in today's society by doing that?
Excellent question. And there was a piece in the New York Times Magazine this Sunday from a woman who addressed that very issue around this new Barbie and the backlash to her. My response would be that there is a happy medium between the two. And certainly we don't want to encourage unhealthy body size that would lead to everything from high blood pressure to diabetes to heart disease. This new curvy Barbie is not that. She is not anywhere near obese or even overweight. In fact, I would guess her BMI would be still on the low end of normal. So really what we are doing is just sort of coming away from the modeling of anorexia and more toward a sort of healthy, normal body image. It is an interesting question to debate whether if the next step is for a much larger doll, a truly plus-size doll, whether that is sending the right message to young kids. Certainly, we don't want to normalize something that is unhealthy, even if it is the norm in our culture. At the same time, there is a balance, and I think curvy Barbie is very much on the sort of the good end of that balance.
Let's take another call from Nicole in Milwaukee. Hi, Nicole.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm really glad that you guys are talking about this. I grew up in the early 90s, and since you guys are talking about body image, my mom was a very tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman, and I actually took after my dad, who was on the shorter end of the spectrum, and he had dark hair and dark eyes. And I remember as a little girl just thinking, you know, how I would have done anything to look like my mom, and I was so angry that I looked like my dad. So I think, and I can't even imagine how that would affect somebody of, you know, a different color skin. So I think Mattel's taking a step in the right direction. I wish they would have done it sooner so they could have been trailblazers in this field, as opposed to, you know, being crucified over the last several years over this.
Thank you for sharing that, Nicole. It made me a little teary-eyed because I think that a lot of little girls felt that way. It's not just her size.
Yeah.
It's she is just this stereotypical blonde-haired, blue-eyed, raving beauty.
Absolutely. And really, thank you for sharing that, because I am so thrilled that Mattel has released all these different skin tones and hair textures. The hair textures is a very big deal, and I was upset that I couldn't actually get one of the Barbies with the with that new hair texture quite yet. But to have a doll that looks like you is so important for young kids growing up. Right, I mean, it normalizes your experience, and it could look like you in terms of size, but also it really can look like you in terms of skin tone, hair texture, eye color, all of these things. And so I think Mattel has done a terrific job and made a big win with that. I need to problematize this just a little bit, and this is where it gets a little uncomfortable. In other toy manufacturers who have produced dolls with different skin tones and different hair textures have found that those dolls haven't sold as well. And this really speaks to the deep racism in our culture and our deep attitudes that that the blonde-haired, blue-eyed doll is, quote-unquote, the prettiest. So that even girls who do not look like this blonde-haired, blue-eyed Barbie may prefer this kind of doll because they have been socialized to think that that is the prettiest. And that is heartbreaking to me because it speaks to a sort of not a love of self, but a desire to be something else.
We are talking about Barbie and Barbie's makeover. Mattel has added three new body types of Barbie in a variety of different skin tones and eye colors and hairstyles to its various doll options. We're talking with our guest professor, who says that this is good on a number of levels, but that there is still a lot of work to be done. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question, a reaction, or an experience that you'd like to share. Kelly in Jefferson is with us. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. I'm visually impaired, so... And I had a Barbie when I was young, and that gave me the real, you know, being able to feel it.
Oh, yeah. I was going to wonder how this affected your body image, but you would actually feel the Barbie.
Yeah.
Well, how did it affect you?
As a kid, it didn't really affect me too much. Now, I feel like I'm, even though doctors say I'm not fat, I feel like I am.
Yeah. So you do you think that this is a positive thing, that there is at least a curvy Barbie, even if she's not necessarily plus size?
Yes.
Yeah. A reaction, Christine?
I would really certainly agree. I mean, mm-hmm. If you you want to feel, both emotionally feel and physically feel, that that who you are and who you are physically and emotionally is good and right. And when you see that represented even a little bit in a toy that you are playing with, that's a validation.
Yeah, and Kelly, you told my producer Niaja that the Barbie doll was your first idea of what women were supposed to look like.
Right.
So that's what she envisioned other women looking like.
Mm. And if you envision that other women look like that, all other women look like that, and then feel that you do not, That's a heavy load.
Yeah. Well, we have Deb from Woodworth emails, my daughter, who is 25 now, discarded Barbie at age 6 and went straight to American Girl dolls, mm-hmm. which I embraced with their range of stories and colors. So, you approve of the American Girl dolls?
Well, so first of all, American Girl dolls are now owned by Mattel.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And yes, American Girl dolls certainly early on started out with these wonderful historical stories. And really taught girls about the past and about female empowerment, and they were fantastic. Now they have somewhat moved away from that. They do still have stories attached to them, but they are not nearly as sort of female empowerment focused. And American Girl really has struggled with the sales of its non-blonde white dolls. And this is one of the examples of a company trying to put out diversity, but then still realizing that the sales are of a particular socialized type of beauty. And of all of the things that that we're talking about, that is the thing really that saddens me most. And I hope that with all these different skin tones and hair textures in Barbie, and with all of the American Girl dolls that are out there, that mothers and fathers, when they buy dolls for their kids, buy dolls that look like them and that really celebrate diversity and diversity of beauty. We see this in our culture. When I took my daughter to a toy store probably a year ago, and she is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white girl. And she went to a doll and picked up a baby doll who was black. And she said, Mommy, I want this doll. And a saleswoman swooped over and said, oh, no, honey, you don't want that doll. You want this doll. And I was horrified because my little girl wanted this black doll. And that was, I thought it was fine. It was great. She didn't see any reason to like one doll over the other. This was the doll that she wanted, and I was prepared to buy it for her. But it is influences like that when other people come in and say, oh, no, honey, you don't want that one. Those are all the social messages that we get that as parents who are conscious about how we want to raise our children, we've really got to fight against.
Yeah. Let's next go to Artis in Richland Center. Good morning, Artis.
Hi, good morning. I have been sewing for Barbie probably since 1950s or 60s when I had three little boys, and it's only because I like to sew. They finally got into Canon dolls. That was something else. But I have been collecting, and I sort of quit sewing, but I find more people around who cannot sew for Barbie because of her body. Well, I understand. Mattel has changed it. I wrote to Mattel a couple weeks ago and said, don't change the body from the 50s and 60s. Keep that straight line, because whether they bend at the knees or the arms either, the children can't get the clothes on. So I taught them this one. I said, please make the clothes that open in the back. My daughter couldn't dress the dolls because I was using my 1950s doll, and she would be using the newer ones, which I call baby skin. You can't get the clothes on them. And that's part of it. But
Artist, I'm just hold on a second, because that's amazing. You actually sew for Mattel to provide Barbie doll clothes?
No, for myself.
Okay.
And I can make some glamorous things, but they aren't what a child would play with every day. But now let me talk about the color. If you'd make that straight doll from the 50s and 60s so you could get the clothes on, put the different color of the nationalities on that doll, then when they go to the store and they see them all lined up in those little boxes, they will see the color they want to pick out, along with their hair, too.
Well, what about that?
I think this is so what you're making a really practical argument for not changing the shape of the body, but simply doing a diversity in terms of skin and hair color. And also, you're making a very practical argument in terms of keeping the body shape in a way that is easiest for the girls to dress the dolls. And the curvy Barbie that I'm looking at, her outfit does Velcro in the back. And I have not actually tried to have my kids dress or undress this Barbie. But yes, it is one of the things that we all learn about toddlers and their development. They learn how to undress the dolls well before they learn how the dexterity to dress them. So that's why you see so many of these Barbie dolls sort of naked lying around.
Yeah.
It's because it's actually easier in terms of their coordination to undress them than to dress them. And so,
I never thought of that.
So what this caller is saying is very important, that that maybe Mattel really should be focusing on ease of dressing the doll as a marketing and sales technique more than anything else.
And I'm sorry, I just didn't understand. So artists just, she sews Barbie clothes,
yeah.
and the ones that she is sewing based on the original body image are not fitting.
And they certainly wouldn't fit curvy Barbie.
Yeah.
None of the original Barbie clothes will fit curvy Barbie.
And that's one of the things that Mattel has to work out right now. They need to get a lot of clothes, or this is going to be a real failure in terms of sales.
Absolutely. And then for parents who want to buy a curvy Barbie doll for their kids, they would have to buy a whole new wardrobe. If part of the joy of Barbie is dressing the doll up. I mean, think about it even in terms of hand-me-downs. You wouldn't be able to get your hand-me-down toys and hand-me-down clothes from another family if you have a curvy doll.
That's true. Yeah. Let's go next to Courtney in Madison. Hi, Courtney.
Hi. I just want to say that it sounds very responsible to be concerned with Barbie's body shape. But I just wanted to add my memory of playing with Barbie since I was obsessed with them around the late 80s and early 90s. Just to put in what, you know, is important to the child as they play with the toy, it might not always be exactly what Barbie looks like, because you can use your own imagination to project whatever you want onto the doll. And really what was important to me was Barbie's personality. I had some 25 Barbies between myself and my older sister. And they each had a very different personality, and that's why it was so fun to play with them, is the sort of shenanigans that they would get into and how they interact socially with their different personalities. So an emphasis on who Barbie is rather than what she looks like, since all of them have the same exact body type, but that didn't seem to matter, is also sort of a very important thing to address, I think.
Yeah, what about that?
So the personality, though, was something that you and your sister gave to the Barbies. The Barbies themselves don't have any personality. They're inanimate dolls. And so what I love about your story is that you were really bringing creative play and putting personality in each of these dolls and then creating scenarios and images and whole little plays around them. That is creative play at its best, and that's why we encourage kids to play with dolls and other toys, is to sort of have that creative learning. That is what you can do with all Barbies, regardless of their shape. So yes, that's a great point. Mattel, though, until recently, when they started having Barbie dolls talk a little bit here and there, these Barbie dolls didn't have any personality right out of the box. The child gave them the personality, and we should all hope that our children give dolls of any sort very powerful, wonderful, positive personalities and engage in all sorts of creative play like that.
We are talking about Barbie. Mattel has added new body types to the Barbie doll line, 3 new body types, a variety of skin tones and eye colors and hairstyles, and we're talking about why Mattel did this and how significant this is. Will this be good for the mostly little girls who play with Barbie? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Christine Whelan. She is a speaker, author, and associate professor in the School of Human Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about Barbie, now or soon to be available in multiple body types, including curvy, petite, and tall. Talking with our guest professor about these additional sizes and the different skin tones and eye colors and hairstyles that are now available and what this means. Welcoming your thoughts and your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Wondering if you grew up playing with Barbie and how did the original Barbie affect you at all? Let's go next to Don in Baraboo. Hi, Don.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a point that as I listen to this program, it seems to me that you're putting a lot a lot of power into this Barbie doll, and in a sense, taking it away from the parents. And I just wanted to, as I listen to this, I think, well, where are the parents in all this? And who's telling the kids that they should be thankful they have all four limbs, if that is the case, or that they can see and dispense with the whole skin color, hair color? I mean, be happy that you have a moving, healthy body and a family that loves you, and stop feeding into the capitalism of the American life and all of this shallow stuff that, to me, is a sign that parents aren't really doing their job and instilling into the kids.
All right, Don, fair enough. So putting too much power into this doll, and parents should be helping, I guess, children realize what's important rather than their body size or eye color or whatever.
Certainly. I mean, it's the parents who are purchasing the doll for the most part. So given the age range of kids who play with Barbies, they have to either ask their parents to purchase it for them, or they're given these Barbies as gifts. So there is parental choice involved. There is a one of my friends said that the only Barbie doll she had, it's one of my friends from high school, was a gift from one of our other high school classmates when we were all in elementary school. And she said, and then her mother threw it out 10 minutes after the friend left from the play date. And so, yes, parents do have choice about whether they're even going to allow a Barbie doll in their home. At the same time, when you there are lots of subtle messages that kids get from all sorts of media and consumer culture. So parents can control, to some degree, what messages come in the home. So, for example, even though I'm a trained journalist and I study the media a lot, I do not allow my children to watch television of any sort, really, because I want to control the media influences that they get from a young age at 4 and 2. They will certainly be exposed later on. Those kinds of choices are ones that we should empower parents to make. At the same time, my girls still have all of the ideas of what is pretty and what success looks like. And I work outside the home full time. And at one point, my older daughter said to me, "Well, Mommy, I want to be a doctor and a firefighter, but I also want to be a mommy, so I can't do that." That was horrifying to me. I said, you know, what have I been modeling to you? Yeah. Of course you can do that. So there are these messages that girls get from all sides that parents can't control, even when they do their best to control them. That's why folks who study social science and folks who study consumer culture are so interested in the messages that inanimate things like Barbie and cartoons have and give to our children. Because parents, even the best meaning and most involved, can't control all those influences.
Right. And even if you're a parent who doesn't buy a Barbie doll, like my parents for a long time didn't, I still, all my friends had them, and you're at their house with Barbie dolls, playing with Barbie dolls. So, you know, you're going to be exposed to, or many can be exposed
absolutely
that way. But what about, we're still putting too much power in a Barbie doll, that this, you know, a Barbie doll really shouldn't, be causing all this angst.
I, you know what? Honestly, I agree. I really do agree. Again, Barbie has been a lightning rod for all of this gender controversy and body image conversation, and it's somewhat unfair. However, the reason why she's a lightning rod is because she is such a stark example of our skewed ideas of body image. If the original Barbie were a real human being, she would topple over. Her dimensions are not humanly possible. They are not. They just aren't balanced in real life. Her neck, for example, is too long and skinny to even support her head. And so there are facts like that that really that really make it easy for Barbie to be a lightning rod. You know, one thing that we haven't talked about around this is male body image. Because while so much of the research was focusing on Barbie for years, we weren't looking at what was happening with G.I. Joe dolls at the same time.
Was G.I. Joe getting to be really bulked up? And,
indeed, he was.
In terms of muscles and that kind of thing.
In the 1960s, the G.I. Joe figure was a figure of a normal fit man. By the late 1990s, his biceps and and his chest were at proportions that no man could possibly have. And so we were creating a body dysmorphia in men where men felt like they were too weak and too small. And we were creating a sort of anorexia body image in women that they were too fat. So it does cut both ways. The men's body image has been just given a lot less play.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's go to Rebecca in Park Falls. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. First, I'd just like to say that I probably had about 200 Barbies growing up. I love Barbie, and I turned out just fine. And secondly, I want to ask why Barbie has specifically come under so much criticism when other dolls, such as the Monster High dolls and the Ever After High dolls, have way more disproportionate skinny bodies that could never exist in a human, and also are wearing little skimpy outfits that are just inappropriate.
Yeah, and it could be. I don't even. I'm not a mom, and I don't even know those dolls. But they must. You do.
So yeah. It's really an excellent point. And the quick answer is that because Barbie is the most mainstream and the most popular, and because you had 200 of her, and because so many little girls nationwide had her. At little boys as well, that this was a very popular doll. So obviously the most popular thing out there gets the most criticism. You raise a great point about the skimpy nature of so many of these dolls' clothing. The Bratz dolls, the attitude and the sexual nature that so many of these dolls were conveying has horrified many, many parents. And that is... What we've seen, though, is that those dolls go on and off the market more quickly as parents say, no, I'm not going to buy them. Barbie has been around for decades, and so that is another reason why she's a lightning rod. But by the way, she was a lightning rod for all this criticism when she came out.
Yeah. And didn't she just have a 50th birthday or something like that?
She did, yeah.
So she's been around
around for quite some time. Yeah.
Marie in Frederickson is with us. Hello, Marie.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I'm Marie from Amory, Wisconsin, by the way. But just sharing that I came from the Philippines and I grew up, you know, in the 1960s and from a very poor family. I don't remember owning a doll at all, but I played with other kids. And I do remember, you know, the typical, you know, blonde, you know, doll that I idolized and looked with high regard. And to me, during that time, it's just like I was questioning, you know, why do I have brown skin? But, you know, moving forward, you know, I moved here in America and I became a nurse and I embraced diversity and I have two girls, even if they didn't have like blonde hair, they have brown hair. But at the same time, what I'm trying to say is I'm happy that, you know, these companies, Mattel in particular, they're trying to, you know, promote, you know, diversity. And so that is empowering, you know, parents also to, you know, teach kids, you know, that we're, you know, not only one, but we could be so many. But at the same time, you know, it's the moral values and how our role as parents will.
Thank you, Marie. You know. That's so Marie appreciates that Mattel is trying to promote diversity this way.
Absolutely, I do too. And now that Mattel has done that, the power is in the consumer's hands. And I very much hope that we all vote with our wallets on this, and that we actually do buy the more diverse dolls, more diverse Barbie dolls, the more diverse dolls of all brands, and that parents do buy dolls that look like their children, because that will send a clear message to the marketplace that diversity is going to be financially rewarded for the consumers. And it is only if consumers buy these dolls that the manufacturers are going to continue to make them, because at core this is a business decision, and unless people buy the more diverse dolls, Mattel is going to make fewer of them.
Yeah, that's and they have been, the sales have been going down, you say, and you believe that this is a business decision by Mattel.
It's a business decision, and hopefully it is a good one. But the only way that it will work is if the consumers reward Mattel for making this choice, if they, in fact, believe that it is the right choice to make.
Yeah. And what about a parent, though, who is not necessarily thinking about the diversity of Barbie right now, but just still wondering. You even wondered whether you thought your children should play with even curvy Barbie. What do you say there?
Oh, it's tough. So I have gotten my children the Corelle baby dolls, which are very, they have a mushy fabric body, and they have plastic arms and legs, and they're just little baby dolls. And those are the dolls that I'm most comfortable having my children play with because they are so, they're so generic. And by the way, I have also gotten one for my son as well. So I'm not only getting them for my daughters, I'm getting them for my son. As they get older, are they going to want to dress up a doll? Maybe. And if they do, I'm not going to say no to a Barbie doll. I would like them to have a diversity of Barbies, and I would hope that if my girls, as you know, a couple years from now when they want Barbies, my hope is that curvy Barbie has taken off so much that I could get one for them that has a whole wardrobe full of clothing so they feel empowered by it.
Let's go to Lolly in Baraboo. Hi, Lolly.
Hi. I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s with Barbie, and there was diversity. I had Julia, the nurse Barbie, who was African-American, the red-haired Stacy. Francie was the preteen that had a different body type. Scooter was the little girl. You know, so there was all the different sizes of clothes and all that, but I guess my biggest deal with Barbie was it was fantasy and it was high fashion. I mean, I remember Julia looked the best in the thigh-high gold lamé boots and a coral suit with dark fur trim, you know. And so the whole deal was to embrace the idea of high fashion, and I'd make them have fashion shows, and G.I. Joes were always their dates after the fashion shows. And, you know, but it was also a different time. Like my mother, you know, before my father came home from the office, got on her hose and heels and her silk lined camel haired skirt with a cardigan set. And, you know, people dressed. I mean, if you look at
and Lolly, you're bringing back some memories, but we have less than a minute, so that's why I'm jumping in. It's fantasy, and that's so what about that?
And that's really the thing that we should embrace about Barbie dolls and all dolls. It's about creative play, it's about fantasy, and it's about letting the child use their imagination and explore. So my hope with these dolls and any other dolls is that we encourage active, free play and imagination in our kids because that's where they learn and grow.
Yeah, so in our final minute, do you think Barbie's looks will ever measure up to society's changing expectations?
As long as we are talking about Barbie and criticizing her for her appearance, yes, it will never meet up to expectations. My hope is that we can move the discussion away from her appearance and more toward all the wonderful things we want to do with her to have her excel in education and in her career. And this is where creative play comes in, both for the parents and for the kids. Let's imagine Barbie doing all sorts of wonderful things, regardless of her size and regardless of what she's wearing.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was fun.
Christine Whelan is a speaker, author, and associate professor in the School of Human Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She specializes in consumer science, self-improvement, and the quest for self-control and behavior change. Thanks very much to Niaja Ellison, who produced this program. Thanks very much to Christy Taylor for help with on-air production. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. Coming up tomorrow at this time, by the way, it is the Week in Review. We'll have two guests from opposing perspectives discussing this week's top state and national stories in politics. It's the Week in Review tomorrow at this time. This is the Ideas Network.